Blog Talk Radio.
Christ, I hope this time that we're together finds you well and finds you walking in Christ with me today to be encouraged in the word. Amen. Well, it's your sister Yolanda, and I'm glad to be with you today. It's my blessing and my privilege to be able to share with you and to spend this precious time. So today we are getting together to continue our segments on how to transition from helplessness to being full of hope in a world full of despair. You know, we're looking at all the current events right now, and they are terrible. We've got all kinds of law enforcement shootings and racial-driven shootings, and folks are looking for answers. They're looking for resolution. They're looking for peace. And I believe that the body of Christ has the answer, but for several reasons, we're finding ourselves stuck, feeling helpless, instead of full of hope. In this world where there is nothing, it's seemingly nothing but despair before us. And so we were talking about over the last 3 weeks, what does it take? How do I actuate in my own life these tools that will allow for me not to get stuck anymore, but will allow for me to walk in truth and love, to walk in victory, to be an overcomer in spite of what might be going on in my life? I shared a little bit in reference to my own life and how over the years there's been lots of adversity and there's been lots of issues that would cause you to want to just throw in a towel and in some cases lay down and die. But there is something that God does for the believer, the one that will trust him and activate his word in their lives above all the things that they are seeing in their lives. This is why I love that song by Jacqueline Carr, Bigger, because she has learned, and I love this song because she's learning to exalt God bigger than all of her circumstances, bigger than all of the things that happen and occur in our lives. And as the believer begins to actuate these things in their lives, the wonderful thing is they begin to see those fruit. And this is what my experience has been, body of Christ. Not that I am some super Christian, because Lord knows he knows differently, amen. But because I have chosen to believe the report of the Lord, we talked about that last week, whose report will you believe? And we have to learn to trust in the strong arm of the Lord. When we believe his report above all other reports, we find ourselves walking, literally walking in and experiencing peace in the midst of our storm, joy when there should be sorrow. And I know, folks, this sounds so cliche-ish. I get it. I'm such a pragmatist that some days I wonder, you know, when I'm saying these things. But then when I'm actuating these things in my life, the proof is in the pudding. It's there. And people have asked me over and over again, how is you doing this? I'm telling you, it's not me per se. It is the Holy Spirit in me that activates the word of God to bring forth fruit. So I just want to get into the word today, family. I know our time is limited, and if we can, we'll take calls. You guys know the call-in number is 929-477-3789. We've been taking calls the last few weeks, and so our lesson has been slowed up a bit, but I'm going to do what I can to get through the lesson. So, body of Christ, if you do call, you may hold on a little bit. I'm going to hold some of the calls to the end if I can, but the goal is to try to get through this portion because I've kind of belabored it. Because we were having conversations. But let's get our word out. that sword that the Lord has given us, the sword of the Lord, the word of God. And let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 13. Bless the Lord Almighty, and we're going to pray so that he can meet us right where we are. Father, we thank you that your heart is big and it's wide and it's able to hold all of us. Lord, those who are feeling strong, those who are feeling weak, those who are feeling indifferent. God, you know every one of our circumstances and you know where our hearts are. And we thank you that you are God who does not stand afar off, Lord, and not engage, but you engage, Lord, for our own freedom and deliverance. You engage so that we can be all you've designed for us to be individually before the foundation of the world. And so, Father, even though you have an individual design for each of us, we know also that you have a corporate design for each of us, and you'd have us to be on one accord and on one mind and of the same spirit. So, Father, I'm asking that you would meet us here and actuate your plans for us as we learn this word and we get into the word. By your spirit, Lord, illuminate the word so that it might bring forth fruit in the life of everyone who's under the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. So we were learning that as a man thinketh, so is he last week. We were in Proverbs 23:7, breaking that down a bit. And we understand that whatever I'm thinking about and hold with favor, whatever I'm thinking about and hold with emotion, whatever I think about and hold as true, trickles down into my heart, which is my belief system, and then is played out or acted out in my life. Because my belief system, my heart, is my instruction manual for my actions, okay? So we've got your thought process, your belief process, and finally you have your actions process. These three work in tandem all the time, whether it be for the negative or the positive. The believer has the responsibility to be able to submit his mind, submit his thoughts to the word of God so that whatever should come through in the following, in the belief system, would affect the action so that they can have victory in their lives. Amen? And that's, body of Christ, where most of the war begins for us as believers. It begins and ends there, quite honestly, what we're thinking. Amen? All right, the word of God is meant to be a practical guide, a manual, in order that we can be and have even function as God literally wants us to, as one of his agents. Amen? You know, think about agents too often, right? An agent is basically someone who represents, right? So we could actually be body members of the body of Christ. I know that sounds kind of weird to many of us at times, but God has called us literally to be his body. And I believe that's what Romans 6 will tell us. Let's look into the word a little bit. I want to just get into this some because the Lord knows we've got a lot to cover. Bless the Lord. In Matthew, I'm sorry, it's not Matthew. I'm going to skip that one. In Romans chapter 6, verse 13, it says to us, let me find it quickly. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Again, that's Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Now, Paul has given us some instruction here. He's telling us, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, any action that will be sin. But instead of that, yield your members to the Lord, because we're alive from the dead, right? And our members are instruments of righteousness. So it's letting us know, and I don't know if you're hearing this, we have choice. A lot of times we let our thoughts just run away with us. Somebody tells us we're not enough in some way. You're no good. You're fat. You're ugly. You're too tall, too short. You know, we get these negative messages from folks, and we internalize them. Pardon me. How do we internalize these things? What's the process? What's going on? What is this manual telling us about this process? Listen, we take those thoughts, those words tossed at us, those daggers, those weapons that we're hit with, and we allow the message to be held true in some way in our mind, and it eventually trickles down to our heart where we believe, and we act out that thing, whether they say you'll never be any good, all you're good for is, fill in the blanks. And then again, we look at the lives of those people and say, wow, they're fulfilling this word that this person spoke into their life. It's because we held to some degree that thing they said to us as true. That's what's happening. embodied Christ, God would not have us in bondage. But this is what happens to us even as kids. I know when I was a kid, I had the same problem. You know, we had a tumultuous upbringing. Lord bless my mom. I love her to pieces. Not an ounce of hatred or resentment there. She's gone on to be with the Lord. But there were certain things that she said that stuck with me. Oh, you guys know I'm going to be real. I'm going to tell the truth, right? She said some things that really hurt. And I fought with those things mentally for some time. But because of the source, she was my mother. Because it came from mom, those words were held true to me. And I let them bear some fruit in my belief and came out in my actions. I started to believe I wasn't enough. I started to believe that I wasn't good enough for whatever it was, and that whatever negative connotations she put on me, in her own despair, I'm sure, were actually who I was. That was my paradigm. I held the belief true in my mind. I held those words that came at me as true. So since I gave that word that she spoke, and the words that the bully may have spoke, the words that others may have said, with some sort of emotion, with some sort of truth attached to it, some kind of value, that thing said, okay, this has got enough amped up belief, if you will. It's got enough oomph that I'm going to carry this particular thought process, this particular idea, down to the belief system and make it part of your actionary life. Are you seeing how that works, Body of Christ? So my body and my systems, all of my body system, because remember, we're holistic. We're mind, body, soul, spirit, right? And that mind sits in the soul realm. So we've got this body system, these three parts, the body, soul, and spirit, that are working together for an experience in life. And when we don't check the thoughts, and when we don't check that thing that's been thrown at us, we are likely to have what it says and what message that it carries in our lives. If people say you'll never be able to do that, and you agree with that, guess what? You'll never be able to do that. Because if you agree with it long enough, it's going to get down into your belief system, which is your heart, and bear fruit in your life, which is your actions. I know I'm talking right to somebody. I'm telling you because I had to go through this very same process of challenging the thoughts that came into my head. I had to challenge him. But since we are believers of the body of Christ, God is saying, listen, that is not something we're going to allow as the body. We should be on one accord, of one mind, of the same spirit. I need you to remember that you're a body member of my literal body. That's what Christ is saying to us. So we've got to keep that in mind as we look at this scripture. Paul was letting us know that since we're body members, we have choice. And not only do we have choice, but we have the Holy Spirit to empower us to make good choices. Amen? So while others might be stuck, there's no magical hoo-ha here. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives at the time of salvation, the time of our belief, and he is there to empower us, literally to empower us to make good choices, to empower us to have a lifestyle that aligns with the will of God. I'm saying a lot here, family, but I know that you're hearing what I'm saying and you can receive it. Amen. He's empowering us. That's what the Holy Spirit is aboard for. I know we've had some great emotional times with the Holy Spirit, right? But he is not there chiefly to give us a great emotional time. He is literally there to help us not cuss out our kids. Oh, gosh. You know, guys, I wouldn't go there. He is literally there to empower us not to walk away from our marriages. He is there to empower us not to steal, to kill, and destroy. He is there to help us to make good choices, to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? This is what he comes along to do in our lives. He wants to make us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Bless the Lord Almighty. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father. That is some good stuff. I don't know about you guys, but this is blessing me. And I'm praying that it's blessing you, not only blessing you, but setting you free. So he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 5, he says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So what is he saying? He's saying, listen, you are literally the body of Christ. And if the body of Christ does not agree with who Christ is, how can we walk in unity? Even though we be individual members, we are still individual members of one another. We're still one unit. And so as the body, we have to agree with the head of the body. Are you seeing where I'm going here? If Christ has said, if God has said, because we believe them to be the same, Christ the Son of God, if he has said, my thoughts of you are continually good and not of evil that you might have an expected end, Jeremiah 29:11, then we as the individual members in his body need to be agreeing with this belief system that he has, so that as a result of that, we will receive in our lifestyle and in our happenstances and in our daily walks what he has said and believes about us. That's where he's trying to get us. Family of God, do you realize that we have an actual inheritance? We have an inheritance. When Christ went to the grave, he went to that cross, and he died on that cross, and he died for all of those who were blood guilty, although he himself was innocent. He was dying for all of our guilt. He was dying for all of our transgression, iniquity, and trespasses, all right? So that we could be free to walk in truth with him when he died and he went to the grave, took the keys of hell and death, and rose again and ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of God forever interceding for us. This actuated for us the will of God for us. You know, we can't get the benefit of a will until that person in the will dies, right? Scripture says so. So when we realize that, you know, the person has passed on, now we can have whatever the promises were once that person is passed on in that will and testament. So once Christ died, every promise in this book we call the Word of God, what I like to call literally the mind of God, every promise in the mind that he wanted for mankind who would believe, and that's the key, believe on him, was ours. I want you to see that. Every literal promise became ours. Why? Because the one who needed to die for the testament to come to pass died. And the blessed thing is that he rose again, that we would be able to have life and that more abundantly. Body Christ, I don't know about you, but that's the life I'm living today. That's the life of I'm living today. I'm telling you because my life has never been perfect. I doubt that it will ever be perfect on this side of time because sin is in this earth. Amen. But I'm telling you that in spite of all of the things that I see from day to day, from the heartache, from the disappointments, when the kids don't do what we thought they ought to do, when we feel grief, when sometimes things go wrong in relationships, when the jobs disappoint you, when you lose your job, when you're finding the bank account is empty, you don't have the money you need for your daily supply, when you find the car won't start and nothing seems to be working right, when people are cursing you and labeling you, when you're feeling forgotten, when you don't have a mom or dad, when your sisters and brothers are forsaking you and you're all alone. Somebody knows what I'm talking about today. God said, but I am the God that healeth thee. And he also said, look, he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So when we know he has given us a promise and an avenue for that promise to come to pass in our lives, how do we get that going? How do we get that actuated in our lives? First, we have to believe what he said over what the circumstances and my emotions are telling me in the moment. Lord, give this to somebody. Somebody needs this today. Somebody like myself in the past has struggled, and they have struggled to the point where, Lord, they're just done. They're tired. They want to give up and throw in the towel. But in the name of Jesus, I speak to the word that's in you, and I say believe. Trust the word of God today because that's been my stay and my rock. Lord, I thank you for it. This is what we have to end up doing. If we are believers, we have to agree with the mind of God. Amen? Because we're members and instruments of God. Members of his body, right? We have to trust him and do what the will of God says for us to become what he says for us to be. Amen? If I'm going to have victory, I've got to do it in the word of God. There is no way outside of that for you to do it. Bless the Lord Almighty. I'm praying somebody's getting this today. Romans 6, verse 19 says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So Paul is admonishing us. He's saying, listen, when you were sinning and you were believing the lie, when you were believing the negative report, you took the time to even give your body over to that thing. Somebody know I'm talking to, right? if you believe that having a good time meant that you had weed and you were hanging out with the crew in the back room, you're getting high, if you believe that, then that's literally what you did. And so you surrendered not only your belief to it, but your body as well. And you reap the reward, so to speak, of that thought, being high and disjointed and disconnected and in many cases experiencing even worse because you believe this thing. In other words, we bear the fruit in our life of what we've been thinking. That's what's happening. We're bearing the fruit of what we've been thinking. This is what Paul is trying to get us to see. In that same, actually it's a different chapter, chapter 7, we see him breaking down a couple more things to us. Let's go to chapter 7. I'm flipping pages, y'all, so you're going to have to work with me here. Chapter 7 admonishes us in chapter 7, verse 5. Let's look at that. It says, "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death." Oh, Lord. So sin was working through our thoughts, getting down into our belief system, and playing out in our actions to the goal of death. Are you seeing that? Not just physical death, because that's coming, but even spiritual death. Death to dreams, death to visions, death to relationships. This is what was happening as a result of our faulty thinking. I pray somebody's getting this. But when we turned around and we believed in Christ and on the finished work of the cross, something happened for us where we began to agree with God. And as a result, our belief system was changed. And once the belief began to change, guess what else started to change? My actions. Whether it be a religious issue or not for us, I'm telling you, body Christ, and all who are listening to me, this is the way we function as humans. We function this way. God has designed us this way. And if we will honor his design, and we will follow his ways, I'm telling you, we're going to have fruit. We're going to have peace. We're going to have all the spiritual promises that Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 13 break down for us as those who are believers in Christ Jesus. It's a good thing. I know in his word he said we have every spiritual blessing. That's an inheritance. It's an inheritance we got from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want so desperately for you to actuate that inheritance in your life today. Whatever it is you're facing, some of us have said, you know, I'm done. This is just too much for me. They're coming down on us in society. And, you know, as people of color, we're having all kinds of issues. They won't accept us. And some of us are saying, you know, I can't get the right job. Every time I go to a job interview, they reject me. I'm just not enough. I can't get a break. I can't get a break in all of this. Pardon me, some of us are saying this relationship is just too hard. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of being the one, excuse me, y'all, who will be the bigger one in the relationship. I'm sick of being the one who always tells the truth and doesn't open my mouth and gossip like my coworkers. I'm tired of standing upright. Well, God is saying to you today to look at your thoughts. What have you allowed in? Because whatever that thought is what's driving this particular feeling and belief system for you, leading you to want to, in your actions, give up. Body of Christ, I need you to go back to the word and start to meditate on the things that agree with God. Agree with him. And once you start to agree with him by saying, yes, he is the one who supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He will meet the need for the college bill. He will meet the need to pay the rent. He is going to show me how to do it. He's going to teach me by the Spirit of God and through some practical matters how to get what I need in a godly way, so that I won't suffer for it later on. He'll meet the need. You know, my daughter's leaving us and going to college very soon. We're going to be taking her all the way out to Indiana. That's going to be something for me, guys. I hope you're praying for me on that one. But there were some financial challenges we had to face there. And I said, Lord, I feel strongly this is where you want her. And I need to trust you. So I began to agree with God's word concerning the matter. Well, after a very long and arduous process, family of God, we are shipping her off to college, and nobody will be in bondage as a result. If I had, like, clapping hands, I tell you what, I will be worshiping the Lord right now over that. That's the God we serve. Philippians 4:19 came to pass for me. Are you hearing me, body of Christ? Will it be easy? Absolutely not. I'm not going to give you any smoke and mirrors here. No, it will not be easy, and it won't always feel good. But I'll tell you what, in spite of how we feel, we will be able to actuate the word of God and experience joy in those moments. Joy will come in those moments rather than despair and feeling dejected and rejected. All of that will be beside the point. We can resist the devil and he will flee, Scripture says. I've learned over the years that the word of God is extremely practical, family of God. We've applied it in several different ways over the years, but I'm learning that it's practical. It is literally the manual that we need to find to get the mind of Christ and actuate the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. I hope you're getting that today. Receive it today. Please receive it. That's your truth. That is your a tool that God wants to use to set you free. And it's through your thought process first. Whose report will you believe? Amen? Oh, Lord, you're good. You are so good. And then I'm going to wrap it up with this particular verse, I believe. Let me take a look at this. We're still in the book of Romans in chapter 7. We looked at 7, verse 5. Now we're going to look, pardon me, at verse 23, where it says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Okay, now something else is being pointed out here before us. He's saying, listen, I've just come to the conclusion, I've surmised, I see that there's a war going on. Where did he say it took the war take place, family of God? Body of Christ, where is the war? It says it here very clearly. Please look at it. I'm not making this up. It says the war is taking place where? In my mind. And bringing me where? Into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, Lord. Paul is laying it out for us to see. He's saying, listen, this war is taking place first and foremost in your mind. And it's end result, it's end game. What it's hoping to do is to put you in bondage, okay, in total captivity. That's what bondage is, captivity to the law of sin, which works in my members. What's he talking about? My members is my flesh. It works in my flesh to keep me from becoming what God has called me to be, to put me in bondage to death, literally. Satan's goal in this earth, he's got a modus operandi. How many know that? And he also has a vision. He's like a corporate entity. He has a vision statement. He's got a slogan. Scripture makes it clear. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so does God. He says, but I have come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. Body of Christ, if what you're going through right now does not give you life, and that more abundantly, you need to challenge it. Because it's of the enemy to bring death and destruction and disillusionment. You know, that's where a lot of our, I'm going to go there because I'm in counseling and I've been here enough to see it. That's where a lot of our deeper depressions come from. Let's think about it. Let's be real with self. We get depressed and extremely stressed and even full of anxiety because we have let our minds run with the negative thought. We have let our minds be dominated and even captivated by negative thoughts, demonic forces that the enemy has sown in there. You know, I don't know how you're going to get that bill paid. You know they're not going to be there for you. You know they're lying. You know they don't like you. We let those thoughts linger, and we don't challenge. But God wants you to know that you can challenge him because the enemy is there trying to defeat you. We need to challenge him so that we can have life and that more abundantly. Amen? So he says that bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Listen, that's what the Holy Spirit is aboard for. It is to set you free. He said, I came to set the captive free. Body of Christ, that's you and me. And I want you to know today that God, I don't care what you've been through, what you even have done, whatever you've done today, I'm telling you that God is here to set you free. He's here to set you free from helplessness and from hopelessness and from victimization and from being trapped within yourself. You can still be everything God has imagined for you to be well before he even founded the world. You can be it. I'm a living example of that. I should by no means have accomplished anything I have done to this day in my life, especially from my upbringing. I'm a little girl from the hood in Newark, New Jersey, born and raised in the projects. But I sit here, Dr. Yolanda Davis, not because I had privilege or a silver spoon of any sort, but because I have submitted myself to the word of God, and I have let it work out the kinks in me, and I've gotten healed where I was bitter, and where there was hatred, God has gone in and he has healed that, not because it was by osmosis, but because I submitted
myself. I submitted myself and continue to submit myself to the Word of God. And as I align myself with it, body of Christ, the fruit comes. So we can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever asked or think. This is what the Word of God says. And so we find ourselves literally aligned with the will of God and the Word of God for our lives. This is what God wants for you. He wants the best for you. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And he told us, he said, look, they're thoughts of hope and a future. Hold on to that. Mom and dad and whomever else might be your oppressors telling you, God, I don't got time for you. He's got too much on his plate. I'm telling you, he is desirous of being there. He's hungry to be there for you. And you just have to make the choice to believe it. We went in deep today. I'm glad we got some time in. I know we have callers, and I'm sorry we didn't get to the callers today. God bless you. I'm sure whatever your need is, God's going to meet it. And I speak it into existence that God meets your needs according to Philippians 4:19 today in the name of Jesus. And I'm praying, body of Christ, that you will begin to look at this word for yourself. Look at those scriptures that we got into today. And trust the Lord to minister to your heart where you will submit yourself to him. Amen. Bless the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your kindness toward us. You didn't have to be such a complete sacrifice for us so that we didn't have to do any sacrificial things on our own. But, Lord, you did all of that so that we can be completely accepted in the Beloved and receive every spiritual blessing. Thank you for that. And, Father, I pray for those who are hearing my voice, whether it be live on the show, Lord, or later when you're in the recordings, wherever you find yourself, whatever day, month, or time of year it is, in the name of Jesus, be set free. Receive the word of God so that your life can become all that God imagines. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that your heart, Lord God, will be known to them, that they would know their value and their worth in you, and that they would begin to walk in that truth and walk in that liberty and walk in that freedom, that they would no longer be tossed to and fro in imagination and stuck in disorder. I come against eating disorders. I come against mind disorders in the name of Jesus. Father, for every mental split, Lord, the spirit that comes in bipolar issues, Lord, in schizophrenic issues, I come against it in the name of Jesus. And I speak soundness of mind. I speak sobriety. Lord, you said you came to give us not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And so, Father, I pray that the love of Christ would empower them, Lord, to walk out into soundness and sobriety in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that your word will be prevalent and it will bring forth fruit, that it will cut asunder between soul and spirit when necessary, Lord, that you might be able to go in and heal whatever they're facing today. Father, I speak repair in relationships that need repair today in Jesus' name. And Lord, there are some relationships that need to be severed. And so I speak severance to relationships that are ungodly and full of captivity because of someone else's bondage who does not want to serve you. And Father, I thank you that you're setting men free, women free today from the spirit of addiction. Lord, especially pornography and drugs, Lord God. Lord, I come against narcissism because that is just pride. I pray right now in Jesus' name that people be set free from every demonic force, Lord God, that has tethered itself to their lives. I curse the works of darkness off of the life of those who hear my voice today in the name of Jesus. And I sever the assignments. I cancel the assignments against them. And I speak, Lord, that your word and your will come forth in their life, God, that they might have the soundness to hear you and to listen and receive what you have to say. I thank you for God. And we exalt you bigger on this day. On this day, we exalt you bigger than every circumstance, every pain, every heartache that we will experience. Lord, we thank you for it, and we give you honor and glory for how you're going to do that in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, family, we are done for the day. That went by very fast, I know, right? But I'm praying you will listen to this again because we had to get through it pretty quickly. We've got so much more to share with you. Listen to it again and let the word of God soak up in your heart. You know, you give a lot of time to your R&B music. You give a lot of time to even your Christian music. And that's just kind of stuff that you'll hear. I need you to let the word of God do the same in your life. Listen to that a lot because whatever you give your thought process to is what's going to get down into your heart and show up in your life. Amen. So listen to this again and again. Get these components. Take notes. Do what's ever necessary to have that transformation, that transition from helplessness to being full of hope and even letting joy well up in your belly so that you can become all God has designed for you to be. I thank you for that. Now, you all know that if you want to get a hold of us for counseling, we have professional counseling services in our office here. We're in the office today. Feel free to give us a call. We're at 484-626-5024 in the office. We also have a school where we're having people get certified and licensed as professional coaches as well as professional pastoral counselors. Some of you have a call of counseling on your life, and the process has been arduous for you to get to master's level degrees and all that kind of thing. Well, Body of Christ, we can get you certified and licensed to be a biblical pastoral counselor. Look us up on dc3i.org. That's D, the letter D, the letter C, the number 3i.org, dc3i.org. We're a world premier school. We're actually accredited in over 50 countries, and we have a wonderful program that will be able to help you become what God has called you to be. Well, I'm glad we spent this time together, family. Keep it, be encouraged, keep encouraged and keep in the word so that it can heal your heart today. Well, your sister Yolanda is out of here. Be blessed. You're in my prayers. Bye-bye, guys.
You're bigger than the problem. All right.